This is Shippensburg 2014 with Brother Stephen Palmer's second class on Holy Men of God Spake as They Were Moved by the Holy Spirit.
Morning, everybody. Morning. Everybody's awake this morning, eh? Good. Excellent. Right. So we're still going to do some work. I know it's not going to be stressful, okay? But your cooperation is required. Okay. So we looked at chapter 1 yesterday. Do you remember the picture on the screen? Yesterday, wasn't an elephant. What was it? What was it? Okay, yeah. It's treasure, wasn't it? It was treasure. Okay, good. I don't really want that elephant in the room, but they say there usually is one, isn't there? Oh, that's excellent. Okay, hands across. Where were we? We're looking at 1 Peter chapter 1, and we were reading 1 Peter chapter 1, and I said it was difficult to understand, and you said, no, it's not. Look at the following. All right? Okay? So, do you remember anything from yesterday? Did you have a piece of paper? Did you write anything down on this piece of paper? Okay, so we had some good points there. And what I thought was good about it is you link in one verse at the beginning with a verse at the end. In other words, there's some sort of progression of thought, isn't there? There's something about the whole chapter that we can think about. There's something which is going to fade away, which is this life, unfortunately. But there's something which is not going to fade away, which is eternal, which is the kingdom of God. And the connection between this life and the kingdom of God is what? What's the connection between this fading away life and the life that never fades away?
You could be a part of it.
And how could you be part of it?
Reading the word of God.
Which doesn't
fade away.
Fade away, that's right, okay. Yeah, so that's a simple concept, isn't it? And everybody can grab that. We're okay, it's just that what's on the screen isn't on the screen. Only my elephant keeps coming up.
Oh.
You see, and I can't, I'm not clever enough. Is there a young person here who's about, they're too old, they won't know either. They need somebody about 12 or 13 to fix this. Yeah, while we're looking at my elephant. Now then, what I want you to do now yourselves is look at this chapter, right? And I want you to listen to what it's saying. Can you hear in this chapter any voice from the past speaking? What does he mean? Can you hear earlier prophets coming through? Can you hear any echoes? Thank you, Tommy, about echoes. Can you hear any echoes in this chapter, right? I'll just take a couple of minutes. Read the chapter. What we're looking for is any words, phrases that have come from earlier scripture. What do we mean? A quotation, an allusion, a reference back to those scriptures. You got one already. Okay.
Well, in verse 8, it talks about if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, we're in 1 Peter, we are not. 1 Peter 1.
Oh.
That's 2 Peter.
Eric, sorry.
Okay. But that was a good point. That's a good point. I mean, I'm happy to do 2 Peter. But, yeah? Okay, so what you're pointing out, in verse 10 and verse 11 of this chapter, it's telling us that there were prophets who spoke about this time. So what I want you to look at, can you find any Old Testament quotations in chapter 1? Don't shout them out yet till everybody gets a chance to see if you can. So you have to read the chapter, you have to look at the words, and you're going to have to look at your cross-references to see if there's any passages from the Old Testament in chapter 1. Don't shout them out yet. Just that don't shout them out yet. Hold on to it. Just make a note with your paper. Just write them down somewhere. Yeah, and just hold on. Keep them to yourselves till everybody's got. You know what I want about Josh? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, you in chapter one? Yeah, okay. So you've colored something in already, haven't you? Is that no, it's chapter two? Okay. All right. So let's see if you can see anything in chapter one. What I'm trying to do is get you to look at the page yourself. I don't want to have to tell you, but you to see what you can discover, because this is a treasure hunt. We are looking for gold, silver, precious jewels. Oh. Tap that there. I'll do. How do you get that up? Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. In there. Okay. All right, I'm okay now. That's all right. Yeah. Okay, fantastic. Yeah. Okay, right. So if I go back. Okay. Okay, just indicate if you found one, okay. More than one, okay. Anybody not found anything? I will ask you to put your hands up, okay. I hope you're looking though. So while you're thinking about it, this is just testing the machine now. This is where I come from. This is Mumbles, right? This is Wales, and it's that's 100 years ago. It was a fishing village, and those boats were pulled up onto the sand, and they go out fishing for oysters. So guess what the place is called, what the town's called? Oyster Mouth, right? Oyster Mouth. And this is one of the first Christadelphia meetings, and this was the oldest passenger railway in the world. And the council, in their wisdom, got rid of it. It would have been one of the greatest tourist attractions for enthusiasts of railways. It's called the Mumbles Railway. And that's the meeting room, right? Next to the bakery. That's Mumbles. Built in 1850, became a Christadelphian meeting in 1866, when the Methodists who occupied it converted en bloc to become Christadelphians and brought the hall with them, because they were the trustees of the hall. The man who owned the hall, built the hall, became the recording brother of that ecclesia. 164 years ago. It's on the street, and that's now a sign outside, Mount Zion. The Bible, a book ahead of its time. That's on the other side. It's an old building. It's very different from sort of American-type buildings, isn't it? This is, and that's inside. And that sister is 101. And she comes to the meeting, and we sit next to her. She's 101. She can't see. She can't hear very well.
but she's a fantastic exhortation to sit next to. Sit next to an exhortation. She's 101. This is what where she wants to be. She wants to get to the meeting. And she comes. She gets there and she sits down. And you just say hello, she says. She knows who you are. She knows your name. She knows your history. She knows your mother. She knows your grandmother. Your great grandmother. Yeah. I'll just share a few things. Okay, that's the Methodist chapel next door that they built after Mount Zion became Christadelphian. A grander affair. So anyway, that was Mumbles. Thought you'd like to see that. Okay, now let's just... I know a way of doing this. All right, so that's what we were looking at. So we're going to put that off. And we're going to, what passages have you found now then?
So let's all look at the chapter, chapter 1.
Let's start here on this column here. Anybody got an Old Testament passage here?
For what verse?
You choose the verse. Anywhere in this chapter. Okay, well, I wasn't saying which verse, I was saying the chapter. Okay, let's move over here. Matt's got one there.
1 Peter 1:16 connects with Leviticus 11:44.
Okay, anybody else get that one? Yeah? Sam, would you want to give it to Sam? Here you go.
1 Peter 1:19 goes back to Isaiah 53:7.
Okay, I can see that, yeah.
1 Peter... Verse 16, where do Leviticus? Job 23:10 is verse 7.
Verse 7, okay.
I can see verse 7 going through a lot of revelations.
Okay.
1 Peter 24:25 goes back to Isaiah 40:7-8.
Okay, that's a good one. That's good. Any other? Okay, that's a handful. That's good to start with. Now then. The point I want to make about this is that let's take those references. So, verse 15, as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy. For I am holy. So the exhortation to the ecclesia is that they should be as God wanted Israel to be, which was holy. Where does that come from? It comes from Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. Right? Now, have you got that in your margin of your Bible? Yeah? Put a little, well, it's up to you, of course, but mark it in some way, right? Just emphasize, you can see that's a quotation. I scribble all over my Bible. In the end, it looks a bit of a mess, but I could still find my way around. Now, what we need to do now is turn up Leviticus 11, verse 44. To ask ourselves, why is the inspired apostle asking us to dig in Leviticus 11, right? Leviticus 11 is a field in which some treasure's hidden. And we've got to go and dig there. It's not just that he's found a few words which he thinks are useful. So where are we? Leviticus 11, verse 44. What's the setting here? Verse 44 says, I am Yahweh your God. He shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and he shall be holy, for I am holy.
That's the verse that's quoted, right? You're looking at it. You can see it. That's the verse that's quoted. So I have underlined that in my Bible, and I put a reference to make sure I can go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Right? So I can see that that section is quoted. I've underlined it in 1 Peter, and I've underlined it in Leviticus, and I made sure that even if it's in the center column, as tiny little writing, I've put it in bigger writing each side so I can go back and forth. Now, there's something very, very interesting about this quotation that has to do with Peter himself and one of the experiences that Peter had. See if you can look at the setting. Just read around chapter 11. What is the context of chapter 11? We always look at context, don't we? Don't just take a verse out of its position. We look around it and say, why did the Lord want us to go to Leviticus 11? Why, as it is written, be holy? What's the setting of those words? And what have they to do with Peter's epistle, yeah? It's talking about clean and unclean animals. What's that got to do with Peter? Yeah? Absolutely right. Did you hear that? This chapter, excellent, right? Now we've got a chain, haven't we? We found something. Click, 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 click. The ears are starting to buzz. We're finding something. We've gone into chapter 11. Peter said, be holy for I am holy. That's what the law says. Where did it say it? It said it in Leviticus 11. What's Leviticus 11 about? It's about elephants. Can you eat an elephant? I've watched some of you pile the food up. I think you could. Were you allowed to eat an elephant?
Okay.
But if you were in ancient Israel, what would stop eating an elephant? There are no elephants, but come on, can you eat an elephant? Why not? Because what did it have to do to be edible? Chew the cud and cloven feet. Right, if it was a fish, of course, it didn't chew the kind of clone feet. It had to have scales, didn't it? But animals are defined in Leviticus 11 by the fact that they're clean or unclean, and mostly they're unclean. Do you know what it's called? What today these unclean animals, which are used internationally, traded for food, are called? It's called bushmeat. And bushmeat is a real problem because these animals often have viruses, and they're captured, monkeys and so on. Their meat is dried. And
I see. It wasn't, I want to sound wild, but it had to do with health regulations.
Well, the law anticipated those health regulations and said to eat. There were two things. So what's the spiritual significance of cloven feet and chewing the cud? If you look at chapter 11, it says, verse 46, this is the law of the beasts and of the fowl and of every living creature that moveth in the waters and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth to make a difference between the unclean and the clean. So God wanted Israel to make a difference. They wanted you and I, he wanted you and I to look at the world and say, that's clean, that's not clean. When you go to college or school or work or whatever, and you're in a crowd, lots of unclean things go on, don't they? Right? Lots of unclean things. Right? Conversation, television, videos, internet, right? And what God's saying to Israel is, that's the world, right? Now, what I want you to take in as your food is that which is clean. Now, it's a very small part of which is out there. I only want you to take in that which has got cloven feet. What's cloven feet symbolic of? What are cloven-footed animals? What are they able to do? Give me an example of a cloven-footed animal. Sheep. Anybody keep goats here? Okay, both my sons in California got goats. Right? And they said, in San Diego, Joe says, Ah, the kids love the goats. You should see them hopping up onto the rocks. He's got some great big rocks in his garden, hopping up onto the rocks. The thing about goats is their cloven feet enable them to balance on high places, right? So cloven foot is about sure-footedness. It's about not slipping. It's about walking securely in high places above the dangers of the earth. Now, that's how they escape from wolves and predators. If you've seen any of these nature programs, you see these mountain goats, these sheep, standing on a precipice, and the leopard or the snow leopard is after them. The snow leopard can't reach them because they are so well able to balance. Sure-footedness. What about chewing the cud? Yeah? What about chewing the cud? What's that, do you think, a symbol of? Yeah? Chewing the cud. Have you seen a cow? Okay, anybody know what chewing the cud means? How many stomachs do cows have? Four. And they regurgitate the food, don't they? Yeah? Okay, excellent. Excellent. You all hear that? It's taking in the Word of God and chewing over it, thinking about it. Right? And that's how we're going to make a difference. That's how we're going to recognize what's clean and what's unclean. So, being holy, be holy for I am holy. It's not just some sort of, I don't know what that means. It means be good. You know, just you've got to be good. All right? You've got to be nice. That's not what it is. It's saying you've got to walk on high places away from the dangers of the world. Right? And you've got to chew on God's word because that's the way we're directed to know what is right and what's not right. Because, look at the verse in verse 47. This is really important. I've underlined this word in verse 47 of chapter 11 of this. To make a difference. Difference. Distinguish. Discern. So when the crowd's going one way and you go, that's not the right way. I'm not going with you. And they go, look at you, you know. And you go, okay, I'm coming then. All right? That's the point of which you're trying to make a difference. That Peter is saying, you disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to be like God wanted Israel to be. They weren't allowed to eat elephants. Huh? They weren't allowed to go with the crowd. Wherever the crowd goes, they're going to go. Right? Where's the watering hole? We've got to go there. We've always gone here. This is the way we go. He says, climb the mountain. Escape. Chew over the word of God. Beautiful, isn't it? All right? So that reference takes us into some of it. Now, the link with Peter is amazing. Because there was a twist in the tale to this. It's in Acts chapter 10, isn't it? Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Because when we think about clean and unclean animals, Peter, he never ate unclean, never ate elephant. All right? Peter didn't have elephant steak, elephant burger. He didn't. He didn't have kangaroo burger. He didn't have a lion burger, right? He didn't have pork burger, right? He didn't eat spare ribs, right? Because he never ate anything that was unclean. Look, verse 14 says, Peter, you got it, Acts 10, verse 14. Peter said, not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. He never did. And what has happened is he's had a vision, and he's been hungry, and he's on the top of the house, and he goes to sleep, and he has a vision of a great sail coming down out of heaven, and in the sail are captured all sorts of animals. Look, there's an elephant, there's a kangaroo, there's a wildebeest, there's a zebra. There's all sorts of things in verse 12. That's my imagination, okay? Verse 12, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth. Now, where was he when he had this dream? What part of the world was he in? Where was Peter when he had this dream? Whose house was he staying in? It's a smelly old place. Yeah? He was going to Cornelius' house, but he wasn't actually in Cornelius' house when he had the dream. He was called to go to Cornelius' house, wasn't he? Yeah? Simon's house in Joppa. What was Simon's job? What's it say at the end of end of chapter 9? And what's a tanner? What does a tanner do? What's he make? Leather. He makes leather. What do you make leather from? Plastic? What do you make leather from? Yeah? The skins of animals. So in Simon the Tanner's house, there must have been all sorts of carcasses that were accessed, right? Hanging up in the garden were the skins of all sorts of animals. Joppa was a seaport, and into Joppa came all the ships from all over the Mediterranean, from North Africa, from Egypt, and up to Egypt would come animals from, you know, the Sahara, from the Great Rift Valley, I'm sure, that they would have had trade of all sorts, right? So Peter, he's in an environment where there's probably elephant skins around as well, right? I don't think they had kangaroos, but elephants, yeah, I'm sure they did. And lion skins and all sorts of things, right? And he sees them, all these animals, all, you know, mooing and braying and growling in this great sheet that comes down. And he says, go on, help yourself. And he says, I don't eat anything that's unclean. I make a distinction. But there was one distinction they were making they shouldn't have made. What was that distinction? What was the point here? Right. That these different animals represented the different countries of the world. And the Jews thought, well, you know, all these other animals are unclean. All other people are unclean. Only Jews are okay, right? Now, that never was God's plan. God never said to Abram, you're the only guy I'm interested in. He says, through you, Abram, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. You know, that's the scope of the promises to Abram. All families of the earth. But it was the Pharisee. His mind goes, oh, no, this is ours. We are special. We are holy. Right? Now, the holiness the Pharisees were after wasn't the holiness God was after. They were after, you know, wash up to your elbows. And God wanted clean hearts. So this vision was telling Peter not to make a distinction between Jew and Gentile, that all people of the earth, no matter where they're from, what country in the world they're from, what culture they're from, everybody is of equal access to the truth. That was interesting, isn't it? So that verse in 1 Peter chapter 1, which you marked in, could take you on a line of thought that Peter, in when he comes to under inspiration to tell us to be holy, look what he says in verse 17, immediately after that, in verse 16. Does this ring any bells with you? This is really very beautiful. Can you see it? There's a little gem there. Yeah? Got it? Okay. Yes! Look what it says in the next verse. Right, he says, be ye holy, for I am holy, verse 16. And verse 17 says, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, then certain blessings will follow. Now, where does that without respect of persons come from? Why is Peter saying that at that very time? Where? Yeah, you're right. Okay, that these words, these actual words, come from, look at it, Acts chapter 10. Turn it back to Acts chapter 10, right? Those very words, Acts chapter 10. This is amazing. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. This is when Peter's understood the point. Well, he's beginning to grasp the point that Cornelius, an Italian, I can't keep company with an Italian. Any Italians here? Anybody from an Italian background? Yeah? That's a shame. Because they're welcome, aren't they? Yeah? Any Welsh people here? Yeah? Yeah? Well, man, we're welcome as well. All right? Any French here? Yeah, you're welcome as well. All right? Okay. Any other countries?
What do you mean by origins?
Well, you know what I mean. Guyana? Who's from Guyana? Yeah, fantastic. I've been to Guyana. Fantastic. Wonderful. All right? All welcome. Isn't that beautiful? Right? Now then, that's what Peter had to learn. Peter is standing on the edge of the Mediterranean Sea. He's looking out at these ships coming and going, and he's thinking to himself, the Lord has called me to be a fisher of men. I've been catching freshwater fish in the Sea of Galilee. Can I go out there and catch sea fish? I went to Joppa, and I went to the harbor, and I went into the fishmongers. And there were all sorts of fish there. That's what Peter's thinking about. The Lord's asked him, the truth has gone out through Israel. He's standing on the edge of Israel. He's looking, what's the future of the gospel? Should we be going out to the Gentiles? Peter wasn't thinking about that. And God says, here's all these Gentiles coming down to you. Go on, teach the truth to them. I can't do that. They're not Jews. What God has called clean, don't you dare call unclean. This man, Cornelius, is cleaner than any of the scribes and Pharisees. This man is an Italian army soldier. And he prays. And he gives alms. Don't you tell me you can't preach the truth to him. You go and baptize him. And now Peter realizes the point. Right? That's the point. Now, this is what he says in verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Those are the very words. Aren't they the very words that we now find in verse 17 of 1 Peter chapter 1? Underline it. Put the cross-reference in. Yeah, that's your point. That's your point. You found it. Put the cross-reference in. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. It's an amazing thing. So what he's saying is, we've got to be holy, but not. Let's not make false distinctions. Let's make true distinctions. Let's distinguish what you should eat and what you shouldn't eat, what you should take into your mind, what you shouldn't take into your mind. Let's distinguish where we should walk. We're not going to plod the path that the elephants have taken. We're going to climb onto the high places. Right, of the cloven-footed creatures that escape from the dangers of the world. That's the path we're going to take. Don't make false distinction, and anybody who wants to can come into the gospel. God has no respect of persons. That's fantastic to put those two ideas next to each other, isn't it? Now look, we're just looking at some boring words, some people might say. But this is fantastic. It means that every country in the world is open to the gospel, the hope of Israel. It's always the hope of Israel, but anybody can embrace the hope of Israel. And that was such a phenomenal thing in the first century for people to realize that. So my question to you now is, right, just hold on to that reference to Leviticus 11. Can you find in chapter 1 of 1 Peter any other echoes of Leviticus, Exodus, Deuteronomy? Anything to do with the law in its broader sense in those chapters? As you go through carefully, you've already mentioned one indirectly, but just see if you could find any other references.
Verse 19, Exodus 12.
Okay, you got there pretty quickly.
Yeah, it was in the...
It was obvious, was it? Okay.
Yeah.
But you got it too quickly. Okay. Okay, you have already written it. Okay. Can anybody see any others? Okay, where's that?
Okay, which says?
Okay. So that respect of persons is also mentioned in Deuteronomy 10, verse 17. Okay? So that's interesting. What I want you to do is make a table. Right? Any of you got a computer with you? Yeah? I want you to make a PowerPoint table of the connections. Collectively, you can all tell the computer to do it, right? And bring it back tomorrow, right? Connections between 1 Peter chapter 1 and the law. That's my table, okay? Did you see how many there were? Okay, all right. But I'm not going to share it with you till tomorrow because you've got to try and find this because I don't know if they're right. Until somebody else finds them, I don't know whether it's my imagination or it is right. Now, you've got... How much longer have we got? We've got 10 minutes, okay. So let's just look then as you're going to make up this table, all right? So you're going to have three columns, right? You're going to have 1 Peter chapter 1, the verses or the phrases. You're going to have what's said, and then you're going to have a cross-reference to Exodus, Leviticus, whatever, Deuteronomy, right? Now you've already got two passages. You've already got Leviticus 11, right? And you've already got Deuteronomy chapter, whatever you said, 10, right? And I just want us to just to collect together some of these cross-references. Now, we've got a third one that Daniel has closed his Bible 10 minutes too early. We've got a third one, right, which is verse 19. So what is this a reference to? What is verse 19 a reference to? The precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. What lamb was there which was without blemish and without spot? Okay, we'll let somebody else have a turn on that. What lamb was there that was without blemish and without spot, whose blood was precious, whose blood was really important? Now, come on, you all know this. Yeah, the Passover lamb, right? The Passover lamb. What happened with the blood of the Passover lamb? Yeah? It was painted on the doorposts. So when the angel of death came past, it said, this house is okay, and passed on to the next house. If you didn't have blood on that doorpost and lintel, then the firstborn would die. Yeah? Where does all that refer us to? Which passage, which chapter of the scriptures? Yeah? If you've got the Oxford, it doesn't tell you, does it?
So where does this come from? Where is the Bible record of Passover?
Exodus 12, okay? So we've got to put in your... If you haven't got it there already, you've got to put a note in your Bible to Exodus chapter 12. And let's find the right verse. Okay, Exodus chapter 12. And verse 3 says, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. So there's the lamb. And verse 5 says, your lamb shall be without blemish. So when 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 19 says, a lamb without blemish, these are the words of Exodus, isn't it? Saying, okay, you've been redeemed by the blood of the lamb, the Passover lamb. So Christ is our Passover lamb. Which verse of the Bible tells us that very specifically? Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Have you got a cross-reference to that?
Anybody? You've got to keep looking, I'm afraid, guys.
This is all about digging, all right? And don't dig with your eyes closed, otherwise you put the spade in your foot. All right, where are you going to with your cross references?
Yeah?
Excellent. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So now we've got three references in this chapter to Israel in the wilderness. We've got the distinction they had to make between different sorts of food. We've got the Passover lamb. What was the third one? Oh, the law of respect. You're not to respect persons. You're just to take things straightforwardly. You're not going to be biased by who's your friend, who's not your friend, who's your family, who's not your family. You've just got to go straight down the line. What other references can you find in this chapter? Because I tell you, there are other references. And they build a picture up. So, if you can, think about collecting them together and making a PowerPoint slide, then we'll test that out tomorrow, that the PowerPoint works, and you'll see your slide, right? Now, so the examples we've gone to so far, you have told me. Can you look for any more? Start in verse 1, just work carefully through, and shout out if you think you can see something I have to do. It doesn't have to be right, don't worry, you know. It could be a suggestion. Doesn't have to be definite. Okay, but Daniel, you've already said your bit, okay, so you're too quick for us. You'll have to slow down a bit and let others have a chance to... I mean, you can move on if you want to chapter 2, Daniel, and start looking there as well, but we're sticking with chapter 1. Don't be shy. Okay. So I'm going down. Verse 1. Anything in verse 1? I can't see anything in verse 1. Verse 2? Yeah? Okay, so we got good. We've got sprinkling of blood in verse 2. Where was blood sprinkled under the law? Okay, fantastic. So blood was sprinkled, blood was painted on the doorposts in Passover, but blood was sprinkled on the altar when they
offered offerings. So you got verse 2 and sprinkling of blood. So you need to find a good, for this table, you need to find a good verse.
Sorry, I don't know your name. Andrew. Andrew? Yeah, Daniel, sorry.
I'm a bit deaf.
It's going to be confusing. Okay, so Daniel's going to give you a verse for sprinkling. Okay, what about verse 3? Anybody got anything there? No? Verse 4? Well, I was wondering about inheritance because, you know, Israel comes out of Egypt. They're going to go and get their inheritance in the land of promise, right?
That was the whole point of them coming out, to get the inheritance that had been promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What about verse 5? Anything? No? Okay.
Verse 6. Sorry, Daniel. 6. Okay, what verse you got? Okay, Leviticus 4, verse 6. Okay.
All right. So that's a really good reference. Now then, what about verse 6? Anybody going to think of verse 6? Yeah?
It sounds a bit like the sufferings in the wilderness, doesn't it? The trials and temptations in the wilderness. So I actually got a reference to Deuteronomy 8, verse 2 against temptations. Because there's a sense which a temptation, you know, God tempted them in the wilderness. He took them into the wilderness to tempt them, to test their faith. So I got Deuteronomy 8, verse 2 there. What about verse 7? Anything?
Verse
verse 8? Anything in verse 8? I go again, verse 8, whom having not seen, because they heard the voice, didn't they, of God speaking from Mount Sinai, but they didn't see God. No man can see my face. God, Moses couldn't see God's face on the mount. He wasn't allowed to see God, otherwise he would have died. So I've got a reference to Exodus 24:10 there, but that's because they went up and they saw the glory of God. So we can do this. Look, I'm not asking you to do homework, right? But I am suggesting now, because we've had quite a light session, right? And I've been lots of relaxation going on, which is fine, because you had probably a busy class and you'll have a busy class. So this is a lighter middle class, right? See if you can't collect together references from this chapter to Exodus and Leviticus. Right? Just in the way we've done, you know, it's clever, but it's not brilliant in a sense, you know. You've got to pay attention. When you find one, you know, that's good stuff. See if you can feed them into a table, right? And we'll check it out tomorrow and see what it all might mean when we go through it. So we've already found what I think is a gem. I hope you do as well. This connection to Leviticus 11, telling us ultimately to discriminate in the influences which come into our lives. Huh? Pornography, all that stuff. That's unclean. Don't touch it. Right? Don't eat it. Don't drink it. Don't go near it. Let's climb away from that. Let's chew on God's word. Right? Let's choose our friends that support us in that so that they don't drag us off down to the pub or to the drugs or to sex or whatever it is, right? We stay away from all that. Okay? Serious, isn't it? That's what that verse is about, isn't it? It's about discriminating what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. Make that distinction. And don't make the wrong distinction. Don't start getting, oh, I'm a special one. You know, I'm Welsh. I'm from Mumbles. Yeah, you're all Americans. Oh, Canadians. I mean, that would be terrible, wouldn't it, to think like that, right? So treat people equally. Treat people fairly. Treat people with respect. Right? That's the other side of that coin. Don't make false distinctions. Are you friendly to everybody equally? Are you? Do you help shy people join in? Do you not make fun of people? Not so good at sport, they're not so good at this. Do you talk about people, make them feel left out? Don't do that, right? Don't make false distinctions. Embrace people. Respect people. Help people. That's what Peter is saying. So I had to learn a hard lesson there. I wouldn't have gone into Cornelius's house. He's an Italian. But now I know an angel went there first. It's okay. Okay, let's go. Finish. Everybody's